Alan Hickey. Scraped your caravan? Walker Crash Caravan Repairs. Easy insurance repairs, fast.
It's 19 and a half minutes past one. We're talking to Sue Seymour, who is championing the cause of a wonderful organisation called the Laurel Palliative Care, and it is the new version of what used to be known as Dorhouse, and she sadly lost her 21-year-old or 22-year-old daughter a couple of years ago at Dorhouse, and we're talking about this purely and simply to tell us, talk about the opportunity we all have to support Telethon SA Home and Land Lottery, which is open from today. Sue's just told us her incredible story. Let's also now go to Tony Lawson, who is the CEO of Laurel Palliative Care. That story must resonate with you. Sue's story must resonate with you very, very strongly.
Indeed it does, Alan. I guess Sue's story just is, unfortunately, one of too many of those sorts of stories, but the reality is that the care that people receive in the hospice and also at home with our community nursing team is just out of the box, and it's something very special about the palliative care model. I always often say that if it was replicated across the health system, we'd have the best health system in the world. And that's not to say that people don't get good support in other parts of the service, but the model of care is something really special. And as Sue outlined so well, there's a focus on the patient, of course, and making them as comfortable as possible with pain management and the like. But it's a really holistic service where the staff not only consider the patient, but the family and the carers, and make that that time very special and you know, really so professional and more than 100%. All the time.
Sue, that certainly must resonate with you as well, because the organisation has helped you since Jade's passing.
Yeah, definitely. The care's continued for me in the form of art therapy with Jane and a grief counsellor, Kate, and I seriously don't know where I'd actually be without them either. Mm. It's so hard. Grief is so hard to get through and to live with, and you know, when that person's passed away, there's nothing, and it's just trying to find your way in the world and find out, you know, your focus and who you are again and again with the art therapy, because sometimes there are no words to express this, but you can express it through art.
We also have this stereotype vision, don't we, of palliative care being, you know, in the ward, patients in the bed. Give us an example, though, of Sue. You were saying Jade got to have an outing before she passed away.
She did. In fact, it's 2 years to the day that we... they organised for an ambulance to come in. I think it was on a Sunday morning, and they took Jade and myself and one of our very special nurses, Simon, down to Seacliff Beach. And we were there for about 2 hours, and we took the dog, and Jade was able to watch the dog playing on the beach again. It gave her a distraction, and it just the whole experience gave Jade some anticipation, it might only for life or just another day, but it was that anticipation, it was that distraction, something to talk about, something to entertain, or not entertain, but talk to our visitors about.
Tony, that's a classic example of, you don't just give care in the ward.
That's right. Our funding extends to those sorts of things that Sue outlined. We've paid airfares for people to come to see their loved ones. Maybe they haven't been able to afford it. We've sent people home in their final stages and paid for that. And we We fund art therapy, as Sue outlined. We fund what they call complementary care, which is massage and Reiki and those sorts of things, not only for patients but for family and carers as well. And we offer, we fund a bereavement service, which deals during and also after people pass, where you know, they're in grief and they need some good professional help. We also fund, we're starting to fund a little bit of money into research, really critical research and also education. We provide scholarships and the like for our staff to undertake further training so they can be even better at what they do.
Also in the studio sitting listening to all this is Neil Smith, the man, one of the men behind Telethon SA. He's been there. You've been there since day one, I think.
Not quite. The Telethon's 60 years old, mate.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant.
No, I think I've been there 25
years. Yeah, yeah. This must bring a little glow to your heart, hearing stories like this. This is one of 15 charities you're helping.
Well, I think it resonates with our campaign last year and this year, which is buy a ticket and make your heart sing. It's humbling to hear the stories like Sue's and from many of the other charities. These are all charities that work and operate here. And so our role at Telethon is to work with our sponsors like Rivergum this year with a terrific new home going up at Mount Barker, so that we can market it, give it to these guys as an opportunity to sell the tickets. Tony's group at Laurel were in it for the first time last year. They sold $11,000 worth of tickets. That's a significant income for a small organisation. We've got four new ones this year joining in. KidX, Operation Flinders, another one that's close to my heart.
Yes, yep.
Second Chances and Still Aware. Still Aware has had quite a bit of publicity lately. So these are all good people doing good things. And so by providing these prizes, the house, the car, some cash, early bird prize, holiday in Vietnam, that's all part of what we can do to help these charities do their work.
And it's worth pointing out that in the 59 years so it's been running, you've raised over $30 million in total and helped over 300 charities, I believe.
It's a remarkable story, really, Telethon. It started in the early days of Channel 9. It used to be the House of Hope. Lotteries were illegal in those days, so you had to guess the value of the house for a couple of dollars.
Is that what it was? Is that how it started? Is that
in fact, I went to Campbelltown High, and one of the early houses was on Montacute Road there, and we used to catch the bus, and we always speculated, oh, I wonder what it's worth.
My, how things have changed. Yeah. So now we're talking about a Rivergum home and land package furnished by Taste Furniture. It's up at Mount Barker, valued at $395,000-odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or I could elect to take a cash.
Make it easy. Take $200,000 cash.
Yeah,
leave the home with us.
But there's cars for cash, as Neil said, a trip overseas to Vietnam for the early bird prize, and the tickets are $10. But you can buy a book of tickets for six tickets
for $50.
So you can get one for free.
There and I reckon the early bird prize, I want to talk to Dennis Bunnick about how you spend $5,000 in Vietnam in 13 days.
Yeah, true. Well, you'd manage it, I reckon.
Yeah, I'd give it a try.
Listen, this sums up beautifully what the Telethon SA Home and Land Lottery is all about, helping out great causes like Laurel Palliative Care, which, as we've explained, used to be Door House, is now at Flinders University. Sue, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Thank you.
All the best. And Tony as well, keep up the great work.
Thank you.
And Neil, let's hope the tickets sell.
Yeah,
How do I buy them?
Okay, so you can approach any of the 15 charities or go to our website, telethon.com.au, and you'll see the charities there with the links to their purchasing pages. We've got a stand at the show starting Friday.
On Friday.
Manned by all the charities. We've also got quite a few shopping centres coming up where people can meet up with the charities and have a look at the car from Mourn Team, and also Wallace Cinemas, long-standing supporters.
Excellent, excellent. All right, so there you go. The website.
One more thing I can add. As you know, I guess palliative care has been a bit of a taboo subject. People don't like to talk about, you know, dying and death. One of the things that we're doing with Mounted Day program, through our art therapist, introducing a conversation around death and dying using art as the vehicle. And we've been rolling that out in a few schools, and it's been really successful, and we're looking to expand that because we think that if we can get young people used to talking about that subject, that we're going to have much more informed adults and just being more relaxed about talking about end of life and death and dying and grief and so forth.
Mm. Excellent. Great initiative. Thanks very much. Lovely to see you all.
Thank you.
And between now... Neil, how long is it open for?
The lottery closes in the early part of December.
Okay,
in early December. Bird prize. To be eligible, you buy your ticket by the 3rd of November.
November. But between now and then, we will have regular spots like this where we talk about the wonderful charities that you're helping out.
And thanks for your support.
No worries.
Thanks
very
much.
My pleasure. Lovely, Sue. All the best. Now, before we head on to our conversation about Lot 14... I've got some good news for you.